Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and if I'm not, I'd love to be. And this is part two of the flesh. I was put in prison for the gospel, and while I was there, I did quite a study, and I did hundreds of different manuscripts, and this is one of them, of my studies there. So let's begin with the definition of the flesh. Okay, part two.
I studied all this and put it together while I was in prison.
Father, bless it and anoint it in the mighty name of Jesus and in your spirit, which is the spirit, the law of life in the spirit, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then go ahead, in amen and amen. Go ahead.
A, this has to do with the objective fact about the flesh and what the object is of causing our flesh to be put to death.
Now, there's a reason for it, an objection of it, an object. Okay, and then what else?
Why? What's the reasoning, the objective? Well, the reason, the fact, the objective fact in dealing with flesh is completely related to the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, says, quote, I am crucified with Christ, unquote. Again,
that's what Paul stated. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, dead to sin. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
Romans, chapter 6, verse 6 says, quote, our old man has been crucified with him, unquote. Otherwise, you're not a Christian.
You're not a member of the body of Christ. You don't belong to Christ until your flesh has been crucified with Christ. Then what?
These two passages clearly show us that when Christ was nailed to the cross, we, if we really belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you, were crucified with him. Our fleshly being has been dealt with on the cross of Christ. That's where we have to go to be saved.
We have to go to the cross. Okay, then what else?
We
have to go there to be crucified with Christ. We have to be there so that we're dead to sin. We no longer live unto sin. But we must live unto Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The life eternal. Then what?
In order to be resurrected from the dead, we must first be crucified. We have to die to this world, to our flesh. And this is a fact which has been accomplished and established long ago, here in the world and throughout the entire universe. The fact that we have been crucified with Christ, if you belong to Christ, is the basis of our dealing with the flesh. That's the bottom line to being saved.
That's the reason. Okay, then what else?
If we have never been crucified with Christ, none of us could deal with the flesh. The flesh has to be put to death.
Right. If we don't get crucified, we can't deal with our flesh. Our flesh is too unruly. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to have our flesh dead. And the Spirit of God, when it enters into us, kills the desires of the flesh if we stay in the Spirit every day. So the Spirit, we have to, in order to demolish the flesh, the Apostle Paul says that he beats his body black and blue on a daily basis that he may stay in the Spirit. Because his flesh, he knows that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore, knowing that in advance, we know that the Apostle Paul's flesh had no good thing in it, well then ours doesn't either. Amen?
Amen?
And so we need to keep our flesh under the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? We read every day so that we can, when the Spirit of the Word, the anointed Word enters us, then we are enabled to do something where the Lord is able to do something in our mortal body that day. But if we don't, if we're not going to read, or be baptized in the Spirit every day. And we have to go through that baptism every day in order for us to be able to do a work for the Lord, or for the Lord to be able to do a work in us. And so that takes care of the flesh. Okay, read that last line again.
If we have never been crucified with Christ, none of us could deal with the flesh.
No. We first have to be have our flesh crucified by the Holy Spirit, by the Word. Otherwise, we cannot deal with our flesh. We have no power over it. Because in our flesh dwells Satan. That's his picnic grounds. And so we have to... It's like a bunch of grass, or dry grass that grows up every day. We have to burn the grass down. Okay, Satan's picnic grounds down every day in order for us to be able to do a job for the Lord, or for the Lord to be able to do a job in us. All right? That's just the way of life. That's the way. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So that's the way, that's the truthful way of life. Amen?
Amen.
You just got to burn it down every day. And how do you burn it down? Just get the Spirit in you, and the Spirit takes care of everything. Okay, then what?
The flesh has to be put to death. It has to be done at the cross. Otherwise, we cannot deal with or have power over the flesh.
Okay, well, what does it mean, the cross? Well, because there's so many allurements in the world every day that it's a hassle to get into the Bible, you know, and to walk in the Spirit. Because what to do? There's so many things to do all day long. Let's see, what should we do with this? Is to get a hold of the Lord and stay in the Spirit, because by being in the Spirit, the whole realm, everything changes in this world then. Because then you're directed by the Lord to do, and He is in you to do something. But if you're not concerned about the will of God, then you just don't go to the cross. But it's really a cross, you know, and there's something which you think is exciting going on, or a special television program that you want to see, or something on the air, or someplace you want to go. And then all of a sudden, but it's time, the Lord is leading you to prayer. That's a cross to the flesh. Amen?
Yeah.
To seek the Lord is a cross to the flesh. You don't want, your flesh does not want to do that. My flesh does not want to do that. But if we're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, we're going to do that. Okay? Otherwise, you can't handle, you can't control what your flesh is going to do. Okay, you can't deal with your flesh. It's just humanly impossible to do. Why? Because God said so. You must be led by the Spirit. And in order for you to be led by the Spirit, you have to show the Spirit that you're interested in being led by the Spirit. And that's so you have to make contact with Him every day. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, the Word that the Lord spoke, the Bible, the Word, is Spirit and it's life. Amen?
Amen?
And then also in His Word, He says, pray always. There's your cross. Amen?
Amen?
To your flesh, that is. Once you get into the Spirit, oh, you hate the flesh. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, I'm so glad I'm in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
I love you, Jesus. But try to get, you know, you got to go to the cross every day. That isn't a one-time thing. That's a one-time, several-time thing every day. Okay? You got to carry the cross. Now, deny thyself all these concerns during the day, the Lord says, and then take up your cross, in other words, get in the Spirit, so that you can follow Me. Amen?
Yeah.
You understand? That's the cross. Well, people say, well, it's a, you know, this guy has a cross on a pair of roller skates, you know, and he drags that all over the world, you know. This Arthur Blessed. That isn't what the Lord's talking about. Amen?
Amen?
Most people laugh at him, and there's a bunch of people that think, oh, God, that's so holy, because they're immature Christians. But the man hasn't really picked up on the actual meaning of the cross or what the cross is. It's walking in the Spirit. You don't have to carry a log around with you, but you have. There's more important things. God didn't tell him to do that. God didn't tell him to do that. Or to dress up in a robe with a pair of sandals on and a staff in your hand. That's what I was going to do when I first got saved, and thank God that God put me with a very smart, spiritually smart woman. Well, I was headed up for the Hollywood Hills, you know. Going to throw a sheet over my head, you know, with a hole in it, and grow a beard and scare everybody to death, come down from the mountain once every month or something like that, and bring the world to repentance by shaking a staff at them. Well, that isn't what the Lord wanted. He wanted me to get in the Spirit and do what He wants to do. Okay? He's not, nobody, the devil's not going to get angry at somebody like that, because there's such a retarded image to the world that the devil just figures, good, we need more of these kind of guys. You know? Oh, you're so cruel saying something about this guy. No, it's a black eye to the gospel field. Well, he prayed somebody through. Well, yeah, the Bible says that you could convert people to be the same as you are. Amen? Tenfold worse of a devil than you are. You're not supposed to do that. Okay? Some people convert people to communism, to socialism, to homosexuality, to lesbianism. People are converting people all day long. But we've been called to convert people to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And we can't do that unless we, because we're too much in the flesh, unless we get in the Spirit daily. Okay, then what else?
Therefore, our dealing with or having power over the flesh is to bring forth experience.
Yeah, so what I mean by that is that as you daily walk in the Spirit, you're going to get experience of walking in the Spirit, and you're going to have all sorts of different testimonials to say, and the signs that the Lord said will follow those that believe will be following you. There'll be all kinds of manifestations that you're a real believer in the Lord when you're walking in the Spirit. And the experience you'll get by walking in the Spirit, you can tell stories, you know, of what happened, you know, when the Lord told me to get the generator for this town that was totally against us and took our grocery store away and everything. And now they're all for us 100% because the Lord was speaking to me, and I was speaking to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So it's a cross, and he told me to do that, get it for a bunch of people that hated us, get them a generator, and I did. That was a cross. Amen?
Amen.
But when I knew it was the Lord's will, there's no cross at all anymore. And I did it, and boy, he took the condemnation of this whole town off of us, and it actually swept into Texarkana. And the people over there think we're real nice people now. Amen?
Amen.
Unbelievable. And they know we're of the Lord, because the Bible says for us to overcome evil by doing good. Amen?
Amen.
And I knew that there was a bunch of babies that didn't have water for about a month or something like that. And they didn't have lights, electric lights. And so when we got the generator, tuned everybody in. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we had lights in our house because we have a generator. But we can't just sit there real smug and say, now people will know we're Christians. Now look at us, we're the only ones that have lights on at nighttime. That's really being devilish, you know. But what we're worried about is these little kids and babies and everything that are in houses that are dark, and they're using candles, and there's no water to bathe in and everything like that. And so that's what it means to walk in the Spirit, so that you don't have this antagonistic spirit, that you're sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And when he tells you to do something, your ears are open to him, because you're in communion with him on a daily basis by the Spirit. Okay, so you get experience. That's experience, amen?
Amen.
To see how the Lord just overwhelms everything and turns everything a different direction. The same thing when the Lord told me, you be the older Christian, start reading the tapes to the Bible to people and break it down for them. Well, the finances started coming in like you can't even believe it. Amen?
Amen.
We were able to beautify everything in the town and make everything nice here in Los Angeles and Fort Smith. We were able to pay off a bunch of stuff. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's nice to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, it's not to be in the Spirit. To get the experience, you know that what the Lord tells you to do is right. And that's the only way you can get the experience, is start surrendering your entire life unto the Lord and seek the baptism to be anointed with the Spirit on a daily basis and all throughout the day. Because you don't know what the Lord is trying to get you to do, but you're not in the Spirit enough to pick up on it. And there could be hundreds of billions of trillions of things that the Lord is not being able to glorify. We're not able to glorify the Lord with, because you're not listening. You're not communicating to the Lord. And so you're going to be judged for the not listening to the Lord, because he'll say, here's all the things that I was trying to tell you to do, and you didn't do them. You didn't care if you got experience. You didn't care if you were growing in the Lord. And so look at, now I have to say, depart from me, because you didn't care. You didn't follow the instruction. You thought it was just kid stuff when I said, deny yourself, walking in the flesh, deny your flesh, take up the cross, in other words, get in the Spirit so that you can follow me. You understand?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay, you said it, so now you're guilty if you don't do it. Okay, then what? They said yes. All right, then let's go on.
We have to experience the fact that we have died with Christ.
Yeah, and we only know that when we experience being in the Spirit on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
And denying yourself. But I want to go downtown. I want to go get some Chinese food, and I want to be there, and I want nobody picking up for me. I wanted to get it while it's hot right after the walk. Okay? Or I want to go see a movie, or I want to go to see, go out and see the fairgrounds or the firecrackers or whatever's going on. And the Lord's trying to say, no, stay in and get filled with the Spirit, because I want to talk to you about something. But Lord, I want to, that's your own will. It's not the will of the Lord. And here he might be saying, I go over to yonder mountain and go 10 paces up the mountain to where the two pine trees are, and go over to the right where the 15 paces over there, and then down 2 paces, and there's a pot of gold over there worth $1 billion. And you wanted to go down and get a cheeseburger. And that's what you did. That's your will. So you never experienced the Spirit of the Lord, or you never experienced the self-denial. Therefore, God couldn't give you anything. He couldn't show you anything. You couldn't grow. You couldn't get the experience of walking in the Spirit. You had no experience of being in the Spirit and the Lord's overpowering your flesh. So this is the definition of flesh and spirit, contrasting the spirit with the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. So why don't you just listen to me, deny yourself, and take up the cross and follow me? Now, there's a place I might send you down to a bus depot and tell you, I want you to go down there with a toothbrush and start scrubbing one piece of tile over there. Are you serious, Lord? I know there was a black guy at the church, and he says, we were having a foot wash. He says, I'm not going to wash anybody's feet. Well, I said, if you don't, who do you think you are, I said, I'm not washing nobody's stinky feet. Well, if you don't, there's no part in heaven for you. I don't care, and he just walked out. But you go down there, and then there might be some multi-billionaire that feels sorry. I say, why are you doing it? Well, the Lord told me to go down there. And he says, I came down here to just see it there. The Lord told me to go down and find the most humble person to go to the bus depot. And if I saw some humble person, the most humble person he ever saw, give them $1 billion. Well, I'm not going to wash nobody's feet. Feet. I ain't going down the bus depot over there where all those people are treading and looking down their noses at me and do this with a toothbrush or whatever. Just do what the Lord says, you know. Because you never know what will evolve from it. Amen?
Amen.
People don't know what they're missing. Well, you can go through. I went through like years of struggle. He wanted me to clean rooms and at the Calneva Motel in Las Vegas, which was a Class Z motel, you know, on the Strip. After he arrived, made millions of dollars and everything. He says, get down and get up on the roof and fix the flywheels and the swamp cooler and fix beds and clean showers and bathtubs. And what, Lord? I mean, for God's sake, I mean, what is this? I'm Tony Alamo. I mean, you know, whatever, Lord, whatever is what I said, because he scared me. I got the fear of the Lord. When I got saved, before I got saved, the Lord showed me that he could pull the breath out of my body anytime, so I just feel I'm living on borrowed time. Yeah, because he could have taken my life right then and there, and I'd be in hell right now. And he gave me a chance, you know, to see what I do. And he's given everybody else a chance too. And you know, you can't have your own opinion about what you're going to do, or you know, figure out if you're going to just mouth off to somebody when you want to, or whenever you don't feel good, or maybe you feel sick or something, or tired and you don't feel like being a Christian for a while. You better stay in the Spirit, I'm telling you, because you're never going to get beyond where you are now. And if you're vexed all the time because you know that you blow it several times a day and you never hear from the Lord, well, the Lord never hears from you either. Amen?
No.
And because you're just not interested in doing what the Lord wants to do on a daily basis, you want to do what you want to do. And that is your flesh crying out in the wilderness and in the city and in the house and wherever you are. And so you've got to give in to the Spirit. The only way you're going to do that is get in the Spirit, because you can't manage. You cannot handle. You cannot control your flesh. But the Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, you can. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, the first step in our dealing with the flesh or having power over the flesh is to ask the Lord to enlighten us that we may obtain the revelation.
Okay, so I'm enlightening you right now. It's how, you know, I'm looking at it not from my opinion, but this is what I've studied and learned from experience. You don't have the experience, but, you know, you should listen to people that have experience. Amen? I've been around the spiritual realm now for over 40 years. Okay, then what else?
The first step in our dealing with the flesh or having power over the flesh is to ask the Lord to enlighten us that we may obtain the revelation, the reasoning to see the fact of our having been crucified with Christ, with Jesus, with Christ.
Right, and say, how do you know? It's because you know that you're being filled with the Spirit on a daily basis. And then you'll know. Amen?
Amen.
You'll get the revelation then, because you're not going to be blowing it during the day. You're not going to be timid. You're not going to wonder what to say back to people when they say something that is so derogatory or something that they're so fleshly that they just come out and say, no, we want to read Harry Potter or something like that. And we're going to come into your church and read Harry Potter. No, you're not. You know, no false doctrines coming into this church or any satanic doctrine. I had to put a couple of funny, you know, these unfunny monkeys out of here today because they wanted to read Harry Potter, and they says, we think we're intelligent enough to read whatever we want. And I said, well, you could read it, but not here. Okay, you have to get out because we teach the Bible here. Okay? And if you want to come in here and leer or ogle girls, no, you go down to Hollywood Palladium or a singles bar for that. This is a church, okay, Bunky? All right?
Amen.
This is a church. Or if you want to, you know, look for guys, no, Hollywood Palladium, singles bar, wherever. This is a church. You're not going to come in here like a wolf in the chicken house and be stalking around. You know, you're just not going to do that. So, I mean, some people that don't walk in the Spirit, they just think that's so terrible that I do stuff like that. They think I should just leave the door open for every satanic thing on the face of this earth. And I don't care what you think, okay? I don't care. It's obvious you're not in the Spirit and you don't have the spiritual intestinal fortitude to put people out that you know are never going to serve the Lord. The Lord says to throw them back. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a person that lets down a net into the ocean. You pull up all kinds of good fish, and then there's a bunch of eels, octopi, sharks, swordfish. I mean, you throw all those unclean things back, lobsters, shrimps, and clams and crabs. Out they go. Because these are not food, according to the Lord. They're unclean. Well, if the Lord, if we ask him to, look, okay, if you want to eat vacuum cleaners, go ahead and eat them. Okay, then what else? But if I were you, people are dying like flies at the age of 20, 30, 40, and 50. If I were you, I'd eat what the Lord says to eat. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you can pray over it if you think that your faith is so powerful, then why are you not able to stay away from all that stuff if you're in the Spirit? Okay, then what?
Romans chapter 6, verse 11.
Another thing, too, is, you know, one of these people today says, we don't believe what Tony says about beef and dairy products. All I did was told people in the church that the Lord told me around 7 years ago not to eat dairy products or beef. And then it came out on the news, right on the national number one top news media, saying that this big flu that's going around is going to kill hundreds of millions of people. It's coming up soon, and it's going to kill hundreds of millions of people. It's going to make that tsunami look like kids' play. And also they said that it's coming from dairy products and beef, and they said that 70% of the United States beef supply is infested with AIDS. And so if you want to eat, I still, in the church, I'm telling them, I'm warning them, but if you still want to eat this stuff, I've told people what the Lord said about smoking, and there's people here in the church, just, a couple of people that smoke still, that I know of, and that's about it. But you want to do that, that's on you. But I know what the Lord told me, for me, personally, not to eat that. But I also told him that God gave the law to Moses. Did he mean that only Moses follows the law? No? It was for everybody? I see. Okay, well, maybe he meant no dairy products and beef for everyone, too. I mean, that is if you want to live and not catch this flu. Because the Lord told me not to do it 7 years before they just found it out now. And now they found out that it's killing, they said, hundreds of millions of people. And people are picking up AIDS from the blood of cows. And that the other nations all over the country, all over the world, will not take, they won't let our food come in there because they know it's so contaminated. Now there's been several broadcasts, and there's these scientists and these people that work for medicine companies. They say, we are not going to be able to get enough vaccine for this big flu that's coming. They found it already in different parts of the world, and it's spreading like wildfire. I think it was in the Orient or someplace where they found this flu, And it's going to kill, they said, hundreds of millions of people. Now, you can take that for whatever you want. But no dairy means no cheese, no butter, no ice cream. And, you know, maybe the Lord wants people to go on a fast. Amen?
No.
But, you know, I find that it's easy to not eat that garbage. Oh, I'm offending people, the dairy. I can't just keep my mouth shut. You know, because to me, people are more precious than these big manufacturers, all this stuff that has the bacteria in it. And if people aren't selling meat that has AIDS in it, yeah, there should be a law against that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what else?
Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, quote, "Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin," unquote.
So that means that you can't sin anymore. Because how can you live if sin is abiding in your body? We know that the devil's there. That's his home base. But we know also that that's why we have to keep him under every day. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to handle or control the flesh. Because he's there. He takes over immediately when you get out of the spirit. And how do you get out of the spirit? You just don't get in the spirit every day. That's right. Okay, then what?
This reckoning is a matter of seeing. If you reckon yourself also to be dead unto sin, then reckoning means it's a matter of that you can see it.
Yeah, you can see it yourself. When you know you're in the spirit every day, you can see it, can't you?
Yes.
If I'm in the spirit, you can see it, can't you?
Yes.
Well, I don't have any magic formula other than the one I'm telling you. It's not magic, it's the word of God. God forbid that it be magic, you know, that's of the devil. Okay, so there's no other formula. What's good for me is good also for you. If I can stay above the water, you can also with that same formula. Okay, but will the people, the other false prophets teach you this? No. Then what else?
You see it, and therefore you receive it. You see it spiritually because we don't live by sight.
No, we don't. A lot of people, all they know is what they can see, hear, smell, touch, or feel, or whatever, you know, the five senses. Hear, see, smell, taste, or touch. Tasting. And if they can't see it, they don't believe it. But everything that we can see was made by that which we cannot see. Amen?
Amen.
It was made by the invisible world. And the invisible world is far more real than this one because the invisible world is what's going to go on forever. This world is coming to an end. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, the Bible says. Okay, go ahead.
We live by faith. So you spiritually, by faith, see it. See what? That you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. That is, you don't sin anymore.
And by staying in the Spirit, that's the only way. To walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The power of God is in you and crucifies the flesh.
Right. If you're a child of the Lord, if you belong to the Lord, then the Spirit of God's in you and it crucifies the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
It mortifies the flesh, the Bible says. In other words, kills it. Then what?
When we have seen the fact that we have died with Christ, when we can see that spiritually, we can automatically reckon ourselves as being dead. B. There is an experience of being subjective. The subjective experience in dealing with the flesh is completely related to the Holy Spirit.
You'd be subject to the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
If you're subject to somebody, well, then you're subject to him. If the Holy Spirit, if you're a subject of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
You have to be subject to the Holy Spirit. And if you are, then you're dead. You are
your flesh is dead, yeah. Then what?
You are experiencing the death of the flesh or sin, completely related to the Holy Spirit. Being dead with Christ is merely a fact which Christ has accomplished for us before God Almighty. And He is God Almighty. To us, it is still objective. There is the need for the Holy Spirit to work in us.
That's our object. It's a need for the Holy Spirit to work in us, amen?
Amen.
To live in us. Why? Because we cannot control the flesh. Then what?
There is a need for the Holy Spirit to work in us and execute the fact which Christ has accomplished on the cross.
Right. See, if he hadn't died on the cross, then we wouldn't be able to die on the cross. If he hadn't resurrected from the dead, out of hell and out of the death, then we wouldn't be able to. And so because of the fact that he died on the cross, then we are nailed there with him if we are born of the Spirit. Because he was able to go through everything that he never sinned and went to the death of the cross obediently. He couldn't have done that without being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so if he's baptized from the Holy Spirit and he baptized us with the Holy Spirit, then we're crucified on the cross with Christ and we were resurrected from the dead. Do you understand that now? Okay. And what else? That's our object. Amen?
Amen.
And the only way that we are able to make that object is if we're subject unto the Holy Spirit. Subjects of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Then the dying with Christ will become our subjective experience because we are subjecting ourselves.
Unto Him, the Spirit. And Christ is the Holy Spirit now. Because God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. Amen?
Amen.
And Christ is the fullness of God. The whole Godhead. Get it? Get it?
Yeah.
Got it? Got it? Good. And then what?
We are under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we experience that because we want to remain dead with Christ on the cross, so that we're dying daily, so that we can know that we're subject unto the Holy Spirit and that we're risen in Christ. A very major and very basic work of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is to work into us the fact that Christ has crucified the flesh on the cross.
He wants to work himself into us. To give emphasis, if I was on television, I would wiggle. He wants to work himself into us by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So read that again.
A very major and very basic work of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is to work into us the fact that Christ has crucified the flesh on the cross.
Right. He wants to work his word into us and embed it into our spirit so that we know how we are to walk every day. We have to get up and be in the spirit. We have to remember certain scriptures, like Buster remembers the scripture that says, I must be under subjection to those that have the rule over me. He does that every day. And he also prays every day when he gets up to go out to give him the power and to lead him and guide him, direct him to where the Lord wants him to be. If it's to meet souls, and he does that all the time. Okay, then what?
In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit is to have the cross on Calvary brought forth into us to become the cross which is within us.
Right, which is the Spirit. Amen? The cross is the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It's also the resurrection, because death and life is at the cross. We die there and we resurrect there. Amen?
Amen.
Without the cross, there's no death and there's no life. There's no death of Christ, and there's no Spirit to resurrect us from the dead. All that was done on the cross by Jesus, amen?
Amen.
So it was done for us. And he's given us the knowledge of this, And some people just don't articulate it good enough for people to be able to understand. Because there's so many people that call themselves Christians that are not actually crucified with Christ, dead with Christ on the cross, walking in the Spirit, talking to the Lord. They don't hear the Lord, and they don't communicate with Him. Okay, then what? And they don't care to. Okay, go ahead.
If you just want to do your own will, or if you have your own opinions, all that has to be brought forth into us that we can't do that any longer. It has to become the cross within us, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, forget about your opinion. What is that? I don't have an opinion of my own. People have me. Now, what is your opinion of this scripture, Tony? I said, I don't have any opinions. There's no private interpretation of the Bible. It means exactly what it says. No adulterer, no fornicator, no effeminate shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No drunkard. Amen?
Amen.
What do you mean, what's my opinion? What's your opinion of that, huh? It means just what it says. God's Spirit says there's no private interpretation. It just means what it says. Okay, then what else?
Therefore, having the subjective experience in dealing with the flesh, we have to be subject to the Holy Spirit. It's being executed by the Holy Spirit living in us. Romans chapter 6 and 8 show clearly both the death that Christ accomplished and the death being executed by the Holy Spirit in us. After Romans chapter 6 tells us that we have been crucified with Christ, Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says, quote, by the Spirit ye put to death the deeds of the body, unquote. Since chapter 6 says that we have been crucified, why then does chapter 8 speak of putting to death? It is because the death, I'm talking about deaths, plural.
One is the death of Christ and one is the death of us. Amen?
Amen.
We have to adopt Christ's death into us. Or maybe that's another better way. I didn't say it in the message, but that's a good way to say it. Then what else?
It is because the death, I'm talking about deaths, plural, mentioned in these two chapters are different. The death in chapter 6 is that which was accomplished in Christ, whereas the death in chapter 8 is that which is being executed in the Holy Spirit.
In us. Okay, then what?
Chapter 6 speaks about the objective death, and chapter 8, the subjective death.
Yeah. One that is the object, the death of Christ is the object that we're trying to get to. And so in order for us to meet the objective or the actual goal is that we want that same death to be living in us so that we can make it into heaven and make it through this life as a good and faithful servant of the Lord. You know, then what else?
One is the object and the other one we have to subject ourselves to. Now the fact of dying together, chapter 8, the experience of dying together, chapter 6, the death of the old man, chapter 8, the death of the flesh. The death in chapter 6 needs our faith. We have to have the faith for the death that is in chapter 6. The death in chapter 8 requires our fellowship.
Right, you have to be in the Spirit with the Lord. Then what else?
What I mean is our living in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Some churches believe that you should have communion with the Lord as oft as you will, which is like once a month or once a week. But we're to be in fellowship with the Lord. We're to be walking in the Spirit every day.
All throughout the day. Then what else?
That is, if we're living within the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then we can be dead to sin.
No other way, though. Okay, go ahead.
And if we're not walking in the Spirit, we are not dead to sin. We are apt to sin.
Right.
Therefore, we need both aspects of this death. Some think they're the objective and the subjective. We have to have faith, and then we have to subject ourselves to walking in the Holy Spirit daily. And that's only possible if we're in Holy Communion daily. Therefore, we need both aspects of this death. Some think that since the problem of our flesh has been solved long ago by the cross, if we just believe this fact and receive this truth, we're quite all right, and that we have no need to spend time for dealing with the flesh or being subjected unto the Holy Spirit.
The only way we're going to be subject to the Holy Spirit is if we seek the Holy Spirit when we first get up in the morning and all throughout the day. You're not in the Holy Spirit any other way. People are not mature Christians yet until that happens. Okay, you may be Christians, but you need to mature, or else you're going to sin. Okay, then what else?
Others think that dealing with the flesh is altogether all our responsibility, and that we need to spend our effort daily in dealing with it point by point. Both ways of thinking stress only one aspect. Thus, both are unbalanced and partial. If we wish to have a real experience in dealing with the flesh, we need both aspects. C.
You have to have the death of Christ as your objective, and then you have to be subject unto the same death by the Spirit. Okay, then what?
C. The process of experiencing dealing with the flesh. Now we come to see the practical process of experiencing the dealing with our flesh.
I'm going to shorten these messages from now on. I can see people kind of shifting around. Okay, they're not able to keep their mind on the object, and so therefore they're not subject unto it. It's not filtrating into their noggin. Okay, then what else? And there's spirit. Okay, what else?
One.
I suggest to those of you that are listening to this tape to, you know, stop it at this point if you're losing connection with it, and then start playing the rest of it later, okay? Okay, go ahead, because I picked that up in the spirit that I went a little bit too far with this one. All right, go ahead.
One, desiring a sinless life. You have to desire it first. When a man is willing to deal with his flesh, he always begins with the first step, that is, desiring a sinless life. The part of the flesh which is easiest to recognize is its corrupted aspect.
Right, if you don't desire a sinless life, forget, you'll never have it. In other words, sinless life means a life that's in the Spirit. If you don't care about getting in the Spirit, then you don't desire a sinless life. Okay, then what else?
Therefore, in dealing with the flesh, we always start out with a corrupted aspect. We have to realize that it is corrupt. The corrupted flesh, which we are considering here, has a wider and deeper scope than that of dealing with sin. We can say that all that is hidden in man, which displaces God, has nothing to do with God's will and His Spirit. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we have been crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says, quote, "By the Spirit ye put to death the deeds of the body, the flesh," unquote. Since chapter 6 says that we have been crucified, why then does chapter 8 speak of the putting to death? The reason I'm repeating this is because it's important, because the death mentioned in these two chapters are different. The death in chapter 6 is that which was accomplished in Christ. He took care of that part. Whereas the death in chapter 8 is that which is being executed in the Holy Spirit in us. We can say that all that is hidden in man, which displeases God, which has nothing to do with God's heart or desire or will, and which cannot attain to God's will, is the corrupted flesh. When a man is being drawn by the Lord to pursue on, he automatically sees the filthiness and abominable traits of the corrupted flesh. He naturally desires to be delivered from it, and he wants to live a holy, sinless, and victorious life.
Okay, that was part two of the explanation of the flesh. And if y'all like this, I've got part three. four, five, six, seven, and endless, you know. I could go on that for a long time. Did you learn anything?
Yes.
Okay, you want more?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because, what good is, calling yourself a Christian if you don't demolish or do away with the flesh, right?
Right.
All right, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor. And if I'm not, I want to be. And until part three of the definition of the flesh, God bless you and praise the Lord.